Hello, listeners, and welcome to this week's episode of A Little Wiser. I am here with producer Erica Gerard.
Hello.
Live from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and in New York, we have Tara Daigle, associate producer. Hello, Tara.
Hello, good morning.
We are here, as we always do on these episodes, to talk about last week's episode and share basically the things that stuck out to us that we'll take away, the things that made us think differently. And last week's episode was with Andrea Gibson. Andrea is a spoken word poet, a very famous poet, by the way, like a big deal, real poet.
They have a huge following on Instagram. I looked them up and I was like, oh, you're like a real deal poet.
Yeah, with like super fans. I've had people reach out and were like, oh my God, you interviewed Andrea Gibson? So yeah, Andrea has built this really incredible career telling stories, many about pain and suffering. And Andrea's non-binary and uses the pronouns they and them. They are in the throes of this two-year journey with a really aggressive form of ovarian cancer. And Andrea spent most of their life really like just struggling deeply on every level, emotionally, mentally, and then channeling all of that into their art, which was this wildly successful spoken poetry. And the fascinating part of the story, because this podcast is about hope and possibility, is that the actual thing that set Andrea free from living in this constant state of anxiety, pain, and suffering was cancer, ovarian cancer, and facing their mortality. That's the heart of the story as I see it. So I'm excited to talk to you guys about this. But yeah, what'd you think, Erica?
I loved this episode so much for a few reasons. One, I have way more empathy now for people who are true hypochondriacs, because I think we throw that term around a lot, you know, oh, you're just being a hypochondriac. But Andrea was a true hypochondriac. And I love the way that they described their mom being so sensitive to that and really trying to calm Andrea down and explain why they had nothing to worry about and why, you know, it was just really cool. So I will never make fun of hypochondriacs again, because it's a real distressful thing to have. And then secondly, I loved the way that they shared what we can do to shift our perspective toward getting all the benefits that Andrea got after they went through this diagnosis and, you know, treatment process. But we don't actually have to get cancer to take away those lessons. And the lesson that stuck with me the most was the difference between saying, life, I forgive you, and life, I thank you. Like when the way that Andrea said, when they stopped saying, I forgive you, life, for the hard things and started saying, I thank you, life, that it transformed everything. And I think I need to write that down, or old school, get a tube of lipstick and write it on my bathroom mirror so I can remember that every day. Because it really is a transformational way to approach your daily life.
The whole message of this podcast rings so true to me because, well, I guess it depends what spaces you're in. But very often at a meal, out in the world, reading things, and people are so angry.
Mm.
There is rage, and there is on all sides, all spectrums.
So
people
true.
People are angry and enraged, and people are anxious. And I have experienced all of these things, but it appears to be the dominant emotion in the world. And I think what is being lost is focus, celebration, acknowledgement of all that is good and right in the world. And there is so much every day. And that doesn't mean that there isn't incredible suffering, right? And we all know that. But I think Andrea lays out an argument that it is a disservice, and maybe they wouldn't use that language, but to just live in a state of anxiety, fear, and you know, the interesting thing was they were talking about really this transcendental way of being where they wake up and it's just joy, complete gratitude for the music that's playing in the kitchen, you know, for the simplicity of walking outside and hearing the birds chirp. And I was saying, that just seems so elusive. It's so far reaching. And Andrea immediately was like, but it's not. It's right there for the taking. And like, I feel myself talking about this in an animated way because I think we're all witnessing it. And we do have a choice to be aware and heartbroken and activated by the pain and suffering that is happening in the world, the injustice, all these things that we're seeing. But I think this episode was really about stopping to look around and recognize all that is good and true and real in our day-to-day lives. And that is a powerful, relevant, timely message.
Well, to your point about people walking around right now with a lot of anger and rage, when you go beneath that, when we look at that unmet need, there is that we're all looking for attention, just someone to acknowledge us and treat us with respect and make us feel seen and noticed, right? If you're going to get a cup of coffee, just instead of getting mad that the person is maybe busy and multitasking and not giving you so much attention, can we transform those moments? And I think what they said about a lot of us walking through life trying to get something and not get power or get prestige, but get approval, get respect, get attention, things like that, that there's a shift to be made there, even just the shift of maybe I don't need to get those things. Maybe I can instead focus on what I'm here to give. So back to that coffee shop moment, can I give grace? Can I give compassion? Can I give understanding to this person who's looks really stressed out right now, who's maybe can't help me as quickly as I would like? And so that lesson I thought was really powerful.
Yeah, and I think what I heard throughout the entire episode, what the resounding message that they shared was at the core, everything that they began to feel so immensely was love, and love for themselves, love for humanity, love for their journey. And it was just all encompassing and realizing that that is at the core of who we are, and that we truly are all one people just trying to freaking do life and exist together in this world. And what I particularly found was really, really interesting is, as a poet, they were saying they feel all the feels, right? Obviously, they're writing and feeling and have all of these emotions that they're processing and writing through. But it wasn't until their diagnosis that they felt this immense feeling that they had never felt before of love and joy and awe, astonishment, that they allowed themselves to really feel it. So I found that super interesting. Being, I would say, a pretty empathetic person, I definitely connected with them when they said at times it can be difficult to feel those emotions while seeing the world in the condition that it's in and having heartbreak at the same time.
I loved the description of the chemo room.
Oh, yes.
And how all the identities and everything in the outside world just melts away and gets stripped. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember if it was in our interview or in my researching and listening to their other interviews, but Andrea describes it's like black, white, young, old, you know, a man in a MAGA hat. Andrea's a queer poet, and everyone is just human and together and rooting for each other and all there on this shared journey. And it is as if everything is left behind, all of the stuff that really, truly doesn't define like our true humanity or our time here or our potential to heal. And I just thought that was like, and when they ring the bell during their last treatment and
the bell
oh my gosh, and that chills. Sort of, yeah, like gives a celebration, obviously for that person, but this moment of hope for everybody else who's in the throes of their treatment and fighting for their life. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. And I loved the notion of something about feeling like you've lost everything makes you brave. Just makes you a lot braver. And I think I would rather be brave than scared. And I would rather be, yeah, I don't really know what I'm saying there, but maybe brave is a choice as well. And I know I'm always talking to you guys about how I don't feel brave. Am I always talking to you about that? I don't know.
You've mentioned it before.
But it's true. Yeah.
I also think that there was a message there and that there's always this narrative people don't change. We're actually changing every day, like just physiologically, right? Our bodies are changing. We're aging. And not only do people change, people have radical transformations for all sorts of different mm-hmm. reasons, right? In this case, it was cancer. But this notion that people don't change, I think this show has proven over and over and over again to me through our guest that people do, in fact, change and can change for the better. And Andrea is a testament to that, a person who lived with a ton of fear and anxiety and suffering. And then ultimately, this thing that you would presume would be the definition of deep suffering became a person of joy and ease and just this well of optimism and gratitude and joy. So, I mean, I think that's really important to think about.
And the way that they described getting on that stage for the first time and every subsequent time after that, that the fear never went away, even after their diagnosis, getting on stage was still terrifying. I also was reminded that doing things that scare you is so important. I used to, in Los Angeles, get on stage with The Moth and other various storytelling shows, and I would perform my writing, my stories, and it was terrifying. I had to dissociate from my body in order to get through it. But every time I did, it was like a huge weight had been lifted off my shoulders. Just to get it out of your body, like all the things that you have been through and the thoughts and the feelings and the experiences, and just to get them out there is so healing for not only you, but everybody who is listening and can relate to your story. And so the way that they described the terror of those early days as a performer and that they just did it anyway. And I just want to say that if you're going through something really intense, don't forget to write about it because it's incredibly useful.
On the heels of fear, I want to be really honest with our listeners because I think many of us feel this way and maybe even feel a little, I don't know if ashamed would be the right word, but this is our first time having a non-binary guest on the show. And the pronouns are still a learning curve to get into that natural place. And I was really scared. I was scared of messing it up. I was scared of getting it wrong. I was scared of offending or upsetting people. And it really tripped me up in the sense that this show is so much about, you know, humanity and just showing up for people. And I always want to do that in the most present and respectful. And it's new language. And it scared me a little bit that I would mess up and that would create a disconnection. And I'm sharing this because I think a lot of people are learning new language and new pronouns. I mean, and then the funny thing was Andrea was like, my cancer has kind of made me like not even care about my gender identity.
I know. I love that part.
I know. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to say the wrong thing. I'm going to offend Andrea. People are going to like write in and hate me for whatever thing, whatever their opinion is. And then Andrea's like, yeah, I don't really care anymore. I'm like a human being living and dying and sharing my story, which was rad. But I just wanted to be honest about that. And I even was like calling Tara. I'm like, oh, I'm so worried. I'm learning. And this is, you know, for 47 years, I've used she, him, mm-hmm. her, his. And it's new and it feels a little scary. And it felt scary to do it so publicly.
I just wanted to share this tip, which comes from my very dear friend, Barb Morrison, who also uses they, them pronouns, which is that if you mess up, just correct yourself and move on. Don't make a big deal about it. Like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, they hear that all the time. So what Barb was telling me was like, yeah, it's all good. Just do a simple correction and move on. It's all good.
Yeah. And in the same sense of what Andrea said is in writing, in taking in poetry, it's super important to be authentic and tell your truth. Yeah. And I think that was part of our conversation, Kimmy, when we were developing this episode is just own it. Like just own, hey, I'm feeling a little bit insecure about this. One thing. And then Andrea spoke about that in the episode and how so much weight was lifted when they started to perform their poetry in open audience or live audience settings. They would just own, hey, I'm feeling really anxious. Right. My hands are sweaty. I might have a panic attack. And it allowed other people to have permission to feel their feelings. And it became this very unified experience. And I think from what they said, a great experience of healing for them, which again, I think goes back to human connection, storytelling, being able to share ourselves truly, authentically as who we are, stripped away from all of the things. And just be ourselves and share that we're allowed. It enables us to connect with each other deeper. And at the core of that is the message that Andrea shared, which is love.
Yeah. And that, again, was really their message of like just sharing all of that was kind of the magic of their ability to connect with their audience because there was no hiding and everybody's hiding something. So when you're there and give everyone else permission to stop hiding, that's a really powerful way of being and in their case, performing.
Totally.
Yeah.
Whether you're hiding your anxiety, your panic,
your illness,
secrets, your regret, your illness. Yeah. Your fear of saying the wrong thing. It's a million things we walk around hiding, right? Do we have a call to action? Mrs. Call to Action, Erica Gerard.
Well, I think the call to action here is to experiment with, sometimes I feel very annoying saying the word gratitude because it's such a buzzword and I feel like lost all of its meaning. But when I say experimenting with gratitude, I mean specifically in those moments where we feel like we're anxious or angry or resentful or sad or uncomfortable, that we can just stop and remember to look around and find three things to be thankful for. Just stop. Look around the room. Can you look at, can you identify, can you feel three things to be thankful for? And see how that, see what it does.
Yeah. And I can't remember what the quote is, but
they got through the whole, we got through the whole episode without them barking. And then I was so proud of myself. Hershey, come here. Hershey kissy. Come here.
All right, that's gotta be an outtake.
That is, no, we are ending the episode on this. Hershey kissy. And that is a moment to be grateful for, is healthy, happy barking dogs in the middle of three podcasters trying to do the best that they can in the world.
True that.
I love it. I love it.
All right. Be well, everyone. We have our final episode of the season next week. Very different story than Andrea, and one that we're very excited to share with you. So take care of yourselves, take care of your people, and we'll be back next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
So, I mean, I think that's really important to think about. Why is my phone dinging when I said turn off? I'm trying to say profound things. Okay. I'm leaving this in.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money.